This week on the Canadian Tech Podcast, Pepper is coming to Canada. Docker wants to help you modernize legacy apps, TCL is launching yet another BlackBerry phone, and the Ontario government is making more services digital. That's all next and more on the Canadian Tech Podcast. The Canadian Tech Podcast is sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. Olio are the planners, designers, and developers of the apps used by some of Canada's biggest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you at oliodigitallabs.com. And we're also sponsored by CodeShip, continuous integration and delivery software that lets you ship your apps with confidence. Both CodeShip Basic and CodeShip Pro come with a free plan that grants 100 builds per month, unlimited projects, and unlimited users. Visit CodeShip.com today to find out which CodeShip product is right for you.
Welcome to the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 113 for Sunday, April 30th, 2017, sponsored by Olio Digital Labs and CodeShip. My name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek Silva.
Well, Derek, can you believe it? Not only a new sponsor, but we're also at the end of April. What the heck has happened to this month?
This quarter and a third, first quarter and a third of the
that's
year
good. That's good.
Of 2017 has, yeah, it's really flown by. Between Olio, Home, Clever Host, Food Trucks Plus, the podcast, yeah, the time is literally just flying by. Well, maybe not time literally, metaphorically just flying by.
Time is flying by in about, this will make me unpopular, but in about six more weeks, in about 6 more weeks, the Knights will start drawing back in again.
Yeah, the hockey or?
No, the Knights as in the evening.
Oh, as an evening, dark time. Yeah dark no, time. Don't mention that, okay? I'm really looking forward to middle of June and how long the days are going to be.
I agree. No, they're working on our patio as we speak, so it was nice to get out there and barbecue tonight. Mm-hmm. I got a little bit more work. Yeah, I'm looking forward to having my morning coffee out there on weekends.
Yeah, that'll be nice. So, that'll be very nice.
Exactly. Okay, lots of tech this week, and we're going to start off as usual. I'm going to start just to wind you up. I'm going to start calling this Derek's Quick Hits.
Sure.
Why we'll start not? With Quick Hits, okay. or we'll start with Quick Hits by Derek. Go ahead.
Okay. Alberta Bank, ATB Financial, and SoftBank Robotics America announced recently that the humanoid robot Pepper is going to engage with customers at a few ATB branches in Calgary starting in May. In order to bring Pepper to the province, ATB partnered with SoftBank and a company called Infusion, which is a firm specializing in digital transformation for financial services. And obviously, ATB is going to be the first organization in Canada to integrate Pepper into its customer service experience. That sounds interesting. Have you ever seen Pepper before?
No, I'm just looking at a picture at a picture of it now. And it's it looks humanoid.
Yeah, it's just a little bit shorter than my 8-year-old.
Right. Okay.
And they're the difference between Pepper and a lot of other robots, and we'll move on to the next story soon, is it is programmed to do just a few things very, very well. So as soon as you go off the beaten path, Pepper fails huge. But if you engage with Pepper in the manner she has been programmed to, from what I've heard, especially over in Japan, Pepper does very, very well. So this will be really interesting to see how it handles financial services.
I want to see what happens if you come in and Pepper realizes that you've overdrawn on your account.
She smacks you across the face.
We'll leave it at that.
And then we'll have a whole new legal thing to deal with. LG's G6 flagship phone hit the market recently. Mobile Syrup has a full review. Pros and cons. Pros, beautiful design, good audio quality, excellent wide-angle camera. The cons, sometimes the display is unresponsive. Not great battery life, and just like lots of other vendors, the LG skin on top of Android somewhat obscures stock Android. But from what I've heard, overall, it is a great-looking phone. It has a very, very small bezel, and apparently this is the best LG flagship phone to date. So if you're in the market, check it out.
Cool.
Apple is bringing a new experience to stores called Today at Apple. Dozens of new educational sessions starting next month at all 495 Apple stores, ranging from things like photography and video up to music, coding, art, design, and more. These are hands-on sessions. Collectively, they're called Today at Apple. They're going to be led by highly trained team members, and in select cities, you'll sometimes get to experience sessions led by world-class artists, photographers, and musicians, teaching things from the basics all the way up to how-to lessons and professional-level programs. Similar to this, Apple's also launched Apple Teacher, I think it's called, helping teachers learn how to do really cool things like this, but of course with Apple products. So this will be really interesting to see whether that results in some sort of halo effect and therefore into sales.
I got to compliment them, you know, especially if the training's free. Free training's always good.
Yeah, man. No, I think it's a smart move. Definitely a smart move.
Okay.
The story's a little bit older, but in enterprise tech, Docker is bringing containerization to legacy apps. They announced this at the DockerCon conference back on April 19th. And this new service called Modernized Traditional Applications, also known as MTA, enables customers to move certain legacy apps into Docker containers and therefore put them under the management of Docker Enterprise Edition and prepare those legacy apps for use on modern infrastructure. Hallelujah. Moving more legacy apps to the cloud because Lord knows RBC does not want to keep their IBM mainframe running COBOL forever.
One never knows. How many times, I tell you, I've been on this rock a lot longer than you. The number of times I've heard, oh, the mainframe's dead.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that. Mainframes are not dead. IBM actually sells quite a few of them still.
They still do, yep.
But the difference is that modern mainframes, A, have fantastic power. B, let you do this already, right? They are essentially private clouds in a lot of ways, or will let you build your own private cloud. Whereas I'm talking like 10 years ago, I was working at Amtelecom, and the customer provisioning system there was quite literally running on an AS400.
Cool.
And that's 2004. So that's not that long ago, and that was a fairly old machine by then. It was probably about 30 years old.
Exactly.
Anyway, if you're in the market for a mesh Wi-Fi network, Google Wi-Fi is now available. You can get a 3-pack for $439. I've seen the reviews. The reviews are, for the most part, very, very positive. Mm-hmm. A quick bit of advice for anybody looking. Ultimately, you need to make two decisions here. A, price. Actually, three.
Yeah.
A, price. B, privacy. And whether or not you trust Google in general. And three, whether you want something like Netgear's Orbi, which only has two parts to it, and blast Wi-Fi in every direction as much as it can. Google Wi-Fi does something similar, fairly, very strong signal. Or you want something like the Plume, which you have to buy more of, but spreads the signal out a lot more evenly and makes it easier for your devices to actually pick which access point to connect to. Two different ways of approaching things. It's for $439. That's a pretty decent deal considering what you're getting. And I've heard that the default settings are actually pretty good.
And that's going to be one thing people are going to want. This is, you know, definitely for someone who lives in a big house, let's say.
Yeah.
They're not very technical. You know, they don't need a lot of specialty stuff. Mm-hmm. They just want it up and running so them and the kids can use their wireless device. They can stream Netflix and all that. So, I've read the reviews too. And, I can definitely see a lot of people, you know, this being an option for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically like two high-end Linksys or Asus routers, or like the cost of two high-end routers. So I'd say it's worth it. Last but not least, Voice, I'm guessing this is pronounced, VOIS Inc., out of Calgary. They provide telephone, internet, and television services to residential and business customers. They've been fined $15,000 for violating the anti-spam, CASEL, Canadian anti-spam law. or legislation. And this is the first time the CRTC has imposed a penalty on a telecom service provider for failing to comply with a CRTC regulatory requirement not related to telemarketing, which that makes sense because this has to do with email. And the CRTC has initiated another public proceeding to consider whether it should impose another $25,000 on Voice and $5,000 on its director, Mr. Harpreet Randhawa, for failing to provide info to the commission. Way to go, guys. Nice.
Yeah, this sounds like a company that didn't take the CRTC serious. And there you go. Interesting. Okay, thank you for Derek's quick hits or quick hits by Derek. Tell you what, if you have a preference, audience, let us know.
Oh, sorry, hang on. I messed up. This is not the anti-spam law.
Up?
It's because they've actually been expelled from the commissioner for complaints for telecommunication services. They got $15,000 because they failed to cooperate with the commissioner for complaints for telecommunication services. Yeah. My bad. Not spam.
No.
Regardless, not good.
Not good. Yeah, it would make you wonder if you want to continue your business with these folks.
I wouldn't hand them a penny. Sorry, I wouldn't hand them a nickel. We don't have pennies anymore.
All right. So we are now going to have, we actually have two sponsors. We have a brand new sponsor, CodeShip. And now we're going to pause for a word from them.
CodeShip is continuous integration and delivery as software as a service and lets you ship your apps with confidence. Choose between CodeShip Basic, a simple testing and deployment service with pre-installed CI dependencies that works out of the box. The average setup time for CodeShip Basic is less than 3 minutes. Or give CodeShip Pro a try. CodeShip Pro is fully customizable continuous integration and delivery service with native Docker support, speaking of Docker, and a lot easier to use than something like Jenkins, which is very popular, but it sounds like CodeShip is much easier to use. It makes it easy to test and deploy your microservices and push to any registry. It's also perfect if you want to deploy with Kubernetes and comes with a convenient local command line interface tool that allows you to run your builds locally, helps encrypting your environment variables, and guarantees 100% parity between your development and production environment. That's important. Both CodeShip Basic and CodeShip Pro come with a free plan that grants 100 builds per month, unlimited projects, and unlimited users. Open source projects are always free on CodeShip. That's cool. Visit CodeShip.com today or check out CodeShip.com/features to find out which CodeShip product is the best fit for you.
And we would like to thank CodeShip for their sponsorship of the Canadian Tech Podcast. Okay, on to some other topics. Your partner in crime, she had a BlackBerry phone, didn't she?
And
she
for a loved long
that
time.
Physical keyboard.
Yes.
She loved that physical keyboard. I'm hoping she doesn't hear the podcast this week.
She doesn't listen.
That's probably good. The Globe and Mail announces that Canadians are going to be able to buy a new BlackBerry-branded smartphone with a physical keyboard. This is the key one. This is kind of the last one that they had a partnership with TCL in. It's going to be available for pre-order at some partners as of May 18th. It's going to be roughly $199 on a two-year term. It's going to be Android-powered. But yeah, what's unique about this is kind of the last product that designed in part that, you know, BlackBerry actually has a part in the hardware design. Because from now on, they basically said to other manufacturers, you can manufacture it. You know, you buy a license with us, we basically get a cut.
Right.
Anything else to comment on that?
It's too many phones. Like,
too many.
TSL or TCL has not learned anything from manufacturing phones for other companies and figuring out why BlackBerry had hardware sales problems in the first place. One of the things I'm absolutely certain had to be that there's too many different BlackBerry models to choose from. I don't need 6 or 7 different phones. Make a low-end phone, a mid-end phone, a high-end phone, whatever feature, or maybe 2 flagship phones, one keyboard, 1 physical keyboard, 1 keyboardless. Mm-hmm. And just leave it. 4 at the very, very most. Because, darn it, like, there's just...
There's a lot of different ones.
Exactly. Yeah, like, and you're never going to hit every single person's desires, feature-wise, like hardware feature-wise. Just why don't you prove that you can sell two or three models first instead of going down this ridiculous road where you have, like, a new phone model coming out, what, every quarter, it seems? This is ridiculous. Exactly.
You know, it was funny. When I found this story, I had to double-check the date. Because I was thinking, this is current. I'm sure we talked about this.
Yeah, we talked about a phone launch like three months ago.
Exactly. So, yeah, no, I agree with you there. As I said, I'm not a BlackBerry guy or an Android phone guy, but yeah, there seems to be. Yeah, you're just gonna confuse the market, basically, with this if you start doing stuff like
for
this.
Phones that aren't selling very well in the first place.
Exactly. So, all right. Well, we'll have to see. Okay. Listeners in the London area know that people around here, they're talking about ranked balloting and stuff like that. Well, there's two little towns by Kitchener-Waterloo that are actually going one step further. They're going paperless completely. Residents of Wellesley and Woolwich, so those are by Kitchener-Waterloo. Mm-hmm. Councillors, or your colleagues, shall we say, in both municipalities decided to use... Your peers, sorry, that's a better term, yes.
Yeah.
Paper ballots with new methods of voting. So they're gonna go fully either by phone or electronic. In the past, they have a quote here that was interesting. The electronic voting method has been available since roughly 2003. Mm-hmm. For advanced polling of that, the mayor of Wellesley, Joe Newax, thought at least 97 out of 444 municipalities went that route.
Including Middlesex Center.
That's right.
We already had online and phone voting 3 years ago. Yep.
Exactly. Apparently they in Wellesley, council voted unanimously. In Woolwich, there was 4-1. But apparently other municipalities in the region, most of them, other ones rejected that. So, you know, I think good for them. If you can do it securely, the costs aren't going to be that much more. They're saying, $26,600 for Wellesley and $32,035 for Woolwich.
Yeah, I think
Commons Councillor.
I think the benchmark is about $1 a person that lives in the municipality. So as long as you're close to that, that's pretty good. When I got appointed to council last fall, this was a topic up for debate, whether we wanted to continue using phone and online voting. And just only because I'd never heard of the company actually providing the online and phone voting service, I had a lot of serious questions, and nobody around the horseshoe could answer them for me. So I voted against continuing only because I didn't have the answers. But since then, I've had the chance to talk to the CEO of the company who does provide the online voting service. The name escapes me, but if I can grab my iPad while I'm talking, I can bring it up for you. And he was very gracious, spent a good 15, 20 minutes on the phone with me, answered a bunch of those questions for me in Televote out of Halifax. So it's a Canadian company. They do take security very seriously. He had an answer for all of my questions, at least a partial answer. Certainly, it's the CEO's not developing the software day to day anymore, but regardless, he certainly knew his stuff. And so I can almost guarantee you Wellesley and Woolwich will be using IntelliVote as well, because I can't remember which agency, but I think it's the Ministry of Municipal Affairs or something like that that's negotiating on our behalf, so that we can negotiate as a block and get a better price altogether. It'll probably be IntelliVote as well. And the interface is pretty ugly, to be honest, but it works. It's functional. The user experience is fine. It's just not very pretty. But that's not very important. It needs to work. It needs to work well. It needs to be secure. And I'm personally satisfied that it does all those things. So welcome aboard the online voting train, Woolwich and Wellesley.
Excellent. Okay. And back to the CRTC, our good friends. This week there are good friends. Well, actually, yes. The CRTC at our friends all the time, but particularly this.
They've been quite good lately.
They've been excellent lately. CRTC Chair Jean-Pierre Blaise,
yeah.
Is that right?
Blaise.
All right. He was at a Q&A at MIT this week. I discussed a wide range of topics, but apparently, according to Michael Geist, who we all know very, very well, it's interesting how some companies like Bell, for example, when they come to the CRTC, they kind of plead poor and, you know, stuff like that. But then when they're on their investment calls, apparently the message, Derek, if you can believe it, is slightly different. So for example, he says an example, Bell told the CRTC back in June 2016 that instituting requirements to share the infrastructure of its fiber network could reduce its investment. But during a subsequent investors call contradicting this claim, a top Bell executive told investors that the company would continue to invest in fiber networks because they are critical to the company's future and that they result in cost savings as well as an increase in revenue.
Imagine that.
Do we have two Bells in this country? Maybe if only we did. This is kind of interesting. So, yeah, this is, you know, good for them because we've seen this sort of stuff before. I love some of the stuff in the States. You have these companies coming up to the congressional thing and then, yeah, 6 months later, they're saying something completely different.
Yeah. So I've got a perfect analogy or analog experience for what you're talking about. So this absolutely happens on both sides of the border. Bell is demonstrating it here. Not only do they continue to invest because it saves them money and results in more revenue once they're done, because more services are available. Their services might be a little bit more expensive, what have you, or people feel more inclined to buy a bundle, for perhaps. Mm-hmm. Who was it? Oh, shoot. Ajit Pai, who's now the Federal Communications Commission chairman as of a little while ago, thanks to Trump, who he was on the FCC before, but now he's the chairman. He is taking AT&T's and Verizon's and Comcast's word for it, or he's using their investment numbers, recent investment numbers, which are down from a few years ago, as proof that classifying ISPs as utilities has resulted in lower infrastructure investment. However, just like this, if you go back a few years, way before the debate on whether to regulate ISPs as utilities even started, the projections for investment are exactly in line with what's happened recently. So they were already projecting that they were going to be investing less for a variety of reasons. Either the build out was going to slow down because they were almost done, or costs would come down for various big routers and fiber optic cables and stuff like that. Whatever, you know, legitimate reasons. Yeah. So two or 3 years ago, they're saying, network investments are going to go down. That we already know that, and yet it's being used as evidence for reduced investment because of a completely unrelated issue. So this happens everywhere. This sort of thing happens in Europe. It happens here. It happens in the U.S. And it's all BS.
Yeah,
that's what it really boils down to.
I'd really like to see some of our government agencies kind of calling it for what it is. And,
all right, you know, good on the CRTC for doing
it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll see some more. So, exactly. All right. And now we're going to pause for
a second sponsor. We have two
seconds. I'm speechless. This is why we have two sponsors. So we're gonna pause for a minute to hear from them.
Olio Digital Labs is one of Canada's most accomplished small market agencies, delivering web apps and mobile apps to businesses across Canada. In this era of persistent connectivity and pervasive mobile devices, it is becoming more important than ever before for businesses to be everywhere their employees and customers are. And that's why Olio provides its customers with a peace of mind only a highly skilled and experienced team can provide. A team that's big enough to support your needs, but flexible enough to work to your constraints. With a client list spanning from the Middlesex London Health Unit and Ellison Travel and Tours, all the way up to College Pro and The Home Depot, the team at Olio has proven itself to be the planners, designers, and builders of the web and mobile apps used by some of Canada's largest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you by calling 226-785-0420, email Derek at oleodigitallabs.com, or hit up the website oleodigitallabs.com to learn more. That's Olio Digital Labs, code that powers every day.
And we would like to once again thank Olio for their ongoing support of the Canadian Tech Podcast. All right.
Samsung made a lot of money.
Everybody made a lot of money reporting. A lot of the big players have had earnings this week. So I just want to preface with,
we don't do a lot of earnings reportings because it's not that important unless the company's in like dire straits. BlackBerry. But Samsung, Microsoft, Alphabet, aka Google's parent company, they made a ton of money last quarter.
It's big money, and it's amazing on what they make it on. So, for example, Samsung, they posted a 48% profit jump. I haven't even been drinking tonight. 48% profit jump, but it's all down to components, not their smartphones.
Yes.
I'm not surprised, because let's see, Note 7 Sega. Didn't their de facto CEO, he got arrested on bribery charges?
Wasn't that related to horse racing?
Oh, probably.
Or was that the president of South Korea? I think that might have been the president of South Korea. Anyway, they're all related. Yeah, they are all intermixed.
Bribery, you name it. Anyway.
So it's $8.7 billion in profits.
Yeah, that's not bad, eh?
No, it's all right. I'd take that, sure.
But it's components, semiconductors, displays, chips. That's the money.
Yeah, they do. They sell a lot of the mobile chips, like the Exynos chips, to themselves and to other companies. Displays for sure, TVs, monitors, displays for other phones other than their own. Memory as well. Samsung makes a ton of RAM and flash memory, like solid state drives. The ROM, you know, the actual, or not the ROM, the flash memory for your phones and tablets, and they sell them to other companies, not just themselves. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's that. Microsoft Azure revenue is up 93%.
Cloud based, you know. Holy smokes. More and more people are looking to that. You know, same thing with the Amazons of the world and the Googles.
Yeah.
Stuff in the cloud. I'm sure they're, more and more people are looking at, and corporations are looking at their Office 365 product.
Yeah.
I have to admit, they've done well on that. I've been an Office 365 customer for just about a year now, and I'm still very impressed with the product. I use OneDrive for cloud storage, and I'm impressed.
Yeah,
so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, speaking strictly on GAAP results, because I don't like non-GAAP. If it's not generally accepted accounting principles, I don't want to hear it. So on GAAP results, revenue's up 8%, gross margin is up 10%. Operating income up 6%. They've got $5.6 billion in operating income. Net income was up.
Net income.
Yeah, up 28% to $4.8 billion. Earnings per share, I think Samsung did as well. Microsoft and Alphabet all beat expectations on earnings, beat expectations on revenue, beat expectations at least on a whole as a whole. Everywhere, like it was just a crazy quarter.
And also, as well, this is the first quarter since they've complete the first full quarter since the acquisition of LinkedIn was closed.
Yes,
And they actually did better than the street predicted. They were figuring $950 million, but that actually came in at $975 million. So,
yeah,
there you go.
Gross margin of 59%? That's pretty good. That's just for LinkedIn, and that includes amortization of acquired intangible assets. LinkedIn did lose money, $40 million, but or is that 400? 0.4 billion? Yeah, 400 million. Sorry, they lost $400 million last quarter. But you know what? It has revenue. It's just not profitable. And as long as it's doing better than expected, then it'll get there eventually.
Exactly. Now, what is notable? The more personal computing segment, which includes Windows devices, gaming, and search. Yep, 8.8 compared to 9.5 billion. Again, that's not surprising. Now, they're saying a lot of it's because of lower Surface revenue, which was down by a full 26%. And they're saying it's because stronger price competition and the life cycle. But I also think as well, again, people are looking at other alternatives, good for Microsoft for realizing that finally, and they're changing.
Yeah,
the company is slowly but surely changing. They're a cloud company now, competing in those spaces along with Amazon and Google. So yeah, good for them. Okay, we move on to Alphabet. I'm still getting used to calling them Alphabet, I got to tell you. I still think a lot of people still just think Google.
Most of the money still comes from Google, but yes, the parent company is Alphabet.
So 22% jump in revenue, $24.75 billion. Billion with a B, profit of $5.42 billion, 29% gain. Stock price is high. Now, they have had some challenging moments. There's still a lot of issues going on. There's an advertising boycott going on at YouTube because of some of the way the algorithms are posting up ads. And this doesn't surprise me if you look at Facebook's having similar challenges. We'll see what happens. It didn't really show up in the earnings. What else do they have? They lump the rest of their, I love this, the rest of their financials in a company category called Other Bets. Moonshot. So internet access, beam down by balloons, self-driving cars, energy producing kites, et cetera, et cetera.
But revenue was up.
Those kites are big money.
Yeah, so $244 million, which is 48% increase from the same period last year. Overall, they stuck Alphabet with an $855 million loss. But, of course, very few of these, other than maybe Google's fiber division or internet service division, I don't think any of them actually make any money there, or except for Nest and the internet service division. So otherwise, they don't actually make any money for the most part. They're all a lot of R&D type stuff. So that's not surprising. But the fact is they're incubating these companies because they hope that one of them will be $1 billion a quarter, or at least $1 billion a year company soon. Nest sounds like they could be if the rest of the year pans out and they've released all these new products and their products do well. Or it could be the internet service, especially if the whole wireless part gets going really well and worldwide. Who knows? We'll find out though.
Exactly. Yeah, just big numbers. That's all I'm going to say. Big numbers. Oh, man. Okay. One more thing we have here. Speaking of big numbers, the Ontario budget, it came out. Government and auto services are finally going to be able to become available on mobile.
Finally.
This whole thing about the insurance industry having to change. I'm seeing that in my employer. There's other ones doing it. This is going to be really good. And I think some people really like the idea of being able to provide their proof of insurance pink slip through the mobile phones. Because, that's one thing. If your car gets broken into, there's nothing worse when they take off with that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea. What other things do you like about this?
As a father, I love ditching the yellow card immunization records and going online instead. I've actually got an app on my phone that came out of the University of Ottawa called Can Immunization or Can Immunify, something like that, where you can keep the records digitally, but you have to put it in manually. So if this is something that can actually be synced up, and it's not like super secret stuff, like my kid either has the vaccinations or not, like whether they do or not, doesn't have any personal security implications. Unlike, I don't know, my credit score, you know, bank account information or that sort of thing. The fact that he's in school means he has his vaccination.
He's been immunized.
Yes, exactly. both of them will. The free online access to 5,000 courses on lynda.com to post-secondary students. That's cool. Easier or like I find renewing driver's licenses and stuff like that online pretty quick already, but if they want to simplify that even more, that's fine. The public psychotherapy for mental health issues available online, that's cool. Remove some of the stigma from that. So this is good. It's what I'm concerned about, and I think this is valid given recent history, is how long it's going to take to actually put all this stuff together and how much it's going to cost. Because if e-health is any indication at all about how well the Ontario government can transition something somewhat complicated to a digital platform, oh boy, we might be in for it. But In case anybody who's making decisions about this stuff right now is listening, don't force a bunch of digital agencies to go through the highly, overly complicated RFP procedure that the Ontario government typically prescribes to or subscribes to right now. And here's why. Mm-hmm. It's going to take forever, and ultimately, the companies who are going to come through that are the bloated, overly complicated, overly bureaucratic, huge digital services companies like CGI. And for some reason, I see these guys pop up a lot, PricewaterhouseCoopers, who are going to want to bid on this stuff because the RFP process is terrible. You have to be pre-qualified this and pre-cleared that and all this other stuff. Just invite 10 companies from London, Kitchener-Waterloo, and Hamilton. Okay? Agencies like Olio, Vehicle, R-Traction. Contact companies like ours. And I guarantee you, whatever you were going to pay CGI or a company like that to do these things, you'll get it for less than half the price.
There we go.
If you're listening, call Derek on Monday.
Hey, and they might be able to use code ship to make it even easier.
Exactly.
All right, those are our stories for the week. Stuff we like. Hey, I got something I like this week, Derek.
Good.
Once in a while.
What is
once
it?
Once in a while. It comes through. It's called FreeMind. I've actually been using it for a while, but it's a Java-based mind mapping software. So it's cross-platform, and it's free, and it's just really good and simple. It's something I do install on all my machines. As I've mentioned previously, I've been going through this book called Design Your Life, and part of the exercises there include doing mind maps, and I find FreeMind really, really easy for doing that. It's actually a fantastic product, just good and simple. If it's good and simple, fairly quick to learn and pick up, it's very intuitive. Very good product. People use it all over the place. It's been around for quite a while. Mm-hmm. It's again one of those really good and well supported products. So grab it at SourceForge, but we have the link up on the thing, and just do a Google search for FreeMind and you'll find it there.
Yeah, links in the show notes.
Yep. What have you got?
I've got an offline IRL stuff I like, which is Equal Rights by Terry Pratchett, the legendary Terry Pratchett. The way this man writes is funny, a little wordy, but like in a good way. And you know what? I want to read an excerpt to you because I took a picture of this bit with my phone. Okay. Out of context, that might not make any sense. And so I apologize in advance to anybody who has not read any of the Discworld novels or hasn't even heard of Terry Pratchett. But this is sci-fi fantasy, or fantasy, not sci-fi, fantasy. Right. But like really good British dry humor.
Yep. So exactly.
Here's my excerpt. Animal minds are simple and therefore sharp. Animals never spend time dividing experience into little bits and speculating about all the bits they've missed. The whole panoply of the universe has been neatly expressed to them as things to A, mate with, B, eat, C, run away from, and D, rocks. This frees the mind from unnecessary thoughts and gives it a cutting edge where it matters. Your normal animal, in fact, never tries to walk and chew gum at the same time. I love it. I was like, yeah, you're right.
Yep.
Dogs. Either I can mate with it, eat it, run away from it, or it's a rock. That's really about it.
I think there's a lesson to be said for some of us in this overly complicated world.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly.
Why not break it down to those four things?
Exactly.
Especially the first three. But anyway.
All right.
Yeah, so that's my pick this week. I see your note. I think we can wrap up here in the next five.
Let's do it. Okay, we're going to try and do that. So what are we up to lately? I've going down to a one-car family. My Corolla, after 16 years of good service, has finally kicked the bucket, at least to a point that it's not worth the repair. So planning to donate that to Kidney Car. Just got to finish up giving them a call this week. Crazy week at work. Lots of digital and physical purging and sorting continues. A good week at the library. We had the CBC there. They finally announced their studio is going to open at the Central Branch on June the 12th. And I got a chance to meet and chat with, have my photo taken with Chief Correspondent Peter Mansbridge. So that was a bucket list thing for me.
Nice.
Anyway, what have you got?
I'll keep this quick. So I finished restoring service to 100% to CleverHost. I'm going to be moving more things around to take advantage of the cloud virtual machines and storage that I've recently started using across the board. Channy's moving. I don't know specifically when, the next 2 or 3 weeks. Working on some new motions to bring to Middlesex Center Council over the next few months around safety and revenue generation. I've got some internal support already for this stuff, so that's good. Or external from residents. Went to the Delco Bridge Soccer Coaching Clinic yesterday. Player evaluations start Tuesday. New soccer season on. I'm the head coach of the Flames under 8 boys soccer team. I've been watching Kathleen get the upcoming local Girls Learning Code event together. It's the National Girls Learning Code Day. That's right. And that's coming up in 2 weeks. And I tried, oh my God, one of the best Scotch, probably the best Scotch whiskey I've ever tried last night. Lagavulin 16-year-old Scotch whiskey.
That is a very nice one.
It is $120 a bottle here in Ontario. But man, it's almost worth it.
I've had a bottle. I had a bottle of that. I think someone gave me one from it. And yeah, it's a very nice, very nice. I love the peaty ones. Yeah.
It was $17 for an ounce.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive.
$125 for a bottle here in Ontario. But man, it was good. It was really good.
Awesome. Awesome. See, I'm glad we are continuing your fine whiskey education.
Yes. Oh, exactly. And if you ever want to go, Henry's Eatery up in Masonville has 183 different whiskeys on the menu and 70 different scotches.
Don't tell me that. That's not a good sign.
All right. Two and a half minutes. Let's make it happen.
All right. So that's about it. I think we're done. So that's about it. Like I said, we'd like to thank our brand new sponsor, CodeShip, for joining us. And we're looking forward to working with them. And we're hoping to have an interview at some point.
Yes.
With someone from the company there. Fascinating stuff. So for episode 113 of the Canadian Tech Podcast for Sunday, April the 30th, 2017, my name is Stuart Clark.
And I'm Derek Lagavulin Silva.
Thank you and be well.